At this time, I would like to introduce again the Honorable Mayor Stephen K. Benjamin, where he will present this year's State of the City address.
Thank you, Madam Clerk, to the members of City Council, our city staff, county council, the school board, state legislators, our neighborhood leaders, to all of our leaders from Fort Jackson. A very special welcome to my friends, Mayor Michael Butler of Orangeburg, and Mayor Hardy Davis, who came all the way from Augusta to see us today, former U.S. Attorney Ed Tarver, so it's a pleasure to see you as well, Ed. Strong thank you to my beautiful family, the best parents that God could ever bless someone with, Maggie and Sam Benjamin, to the two parents I got by extension about 15 years ago, Donald and Adrian Gist, and the aunt and uncle that came along with them, Bobby and Beverly Gist, to my cousin, who's like Aunt Janetta, who I see sitting in the back with Mom's close friend Doris. It's a pleasure to be here with you at the Moore School of Business. I want to thank you, Dr. Pastides, Dean Bruce, for welcoming us to the Moore School. Shirley, thank you for the constant hospitality for nearly 30 years, believe it or not. I know I don't look that old, but for nearly 30 years, this university has been central to my life, as it has been for hundreds of thousands of young people seeking to make their mark on the world over the last two centuries, serving indeed as a faithful index to the ambitions and fortunes of our great state. This university has served as a launching pad for world changers, a true microcosm of society, that in this very building, we now host the singularly best, the premier, the number one international business program in the entire world, right here. Connected and interconnected, woven into what Dr. King called that single garment of destiny, with people from far-flung nations all across the globe. It may seem odd to some still that this university in Columbia, South Carolina, could house such excellence, but I submit to you that it was always meant to be. From the very beginning, the very founding of this shining city on a hill where the Broad and Saluda met to form the Congaree, the architects of an imperfect nation determined that Columbia, the name Columbia, meant liberty personified, would be, and I quote, a place where the oppressed of every land might find refuge under the wings of Columbia. We're bound, Dr. Pastides, in the belief that Emolet Morris Nec Sinit Esse Feros, that learning humanizes character, does not permit it to be cruel, that the education received in this citadel of academia also prepares the world to be a better place. And I pledge that we will always work in our mutual best interests and the interests of all Columbia, regardless of race, gender, religion, sexual orientation, socioeconomic status, or nationality in partnership, because there's so much good that we can do together. A point of personal privilege to recognize my beautiful wife and my two daughters. DeAndre, DeAndre and Jordan Grace and Bethany serve as my rock, my foundation. They keep me straight when so many things want to take you left or right. Oh, thank you for the blessing that you've been in my life. I want to thank you, Pastor Jackie. Where'd she go? There you go. Thank you, Pastor Jackie, for that wonderful invocation. Later we'll hear from our friend, Reverend Bill Diekman. I ask my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the strength to make it through this entire address tonight, to my friends of the House of David, I greet you with the word of peace, shalom. To my friends who are the followers of the prophet Muhammad, I greet you in the great words of peace, assalamu alaikum. And for followers of the world's other great religions, and for those who may have chosen to follow your own path, I greet you the way my nephew DJ always does. I just say, what's up? I want to say thank you to my sweet Arrington Jones for the beautiful selection, and thank Dr. Ed Madden, always impressing. I will say this, as I see the Jones clan lined up on the front row, we always wonder what happens to Daddy. Fred, how'd you wind up all the way back there while everyone else is back here? I thought granddaddy's had privileges, man. I'm not sure how that happened. We'll talk about that later, okay? Beautiful job. And thank you to Arrington and to Ed for reminding us of the power of the arts. I commit to you that this city will always continue to prioritize the arts and arts funding as we continue to grow and prosper together. The state of the city is a unique opportunity. It's how we reflect upon, summarize, and analyze the year past and look forward to the year ahead. It's how we come to understand where we are, where we've come from, and chart a course as to where we're going. That's our goal again tonight. But how we're going to do it is going to be a little bit different. As I said, this is always something you wish for God's grace and mercy. Some of you heard me laugh about the first time I spoke at my home church. When I was done, a little guy came up to me. He said, I grew up, I'm going to give you some money. I said, well, thank you, son, but why? He said, because my daddy said you're one of the poorest speakers we ever had, right? So although I'm not exactly fond of public speaking, and I know that may sound odd because I'm an attorney, and I certainly have served in public office for the last 6 years. It's a big part of what we do. We adapt, we research, practice, and I prepare in every way that I can. But we also come to rely on artificial structures for support and security. And I'm going to go ahead and say it parenthetically. My wife is probably wishing I didn't. We rely on these artificial structures. Now, I will tell you guys, I'm not sure how to say this. So I'm going to say it anyway. I prepared all day to come and speak to you. Got into the car with Chris Carrizales to jet over to the Moore School at the University of South Carolina. And as I got in the car, my pants split. A 10-inch tear in the seat of my pants. We debated for several minutes as to whether or not it was visible. Or visible enough to slow down. We were running a little bit behind, and I did want to at least take a point of personal privilege to thank the wonderful folk at Granger Owings. Don't look for the hole tonight. It has been sewn up, but some of you who had the privilege, well, we rely on these structures and these external figments to make us strong and prepare. But fear of speaking is a natural instinct. It's a natural instinct. Any one of us who find ourselves gripping the sides of a podium, adjusting the mic constantly, take comfort in knowing that as we sit at our council desk and council chambers, that we can hide the pony keg that I promised to turn into a six-pack this year, or something close to a six-pack. A podium, a desk, a line of television cameras, the virtual friendships on Facebook or social media, the anonymity of a message post. It's tempting to hide behind these structures, protecting vulnerabilities and insecurities that are all too human, that we all have. But too often those barriers, those structures become barriers, allowing us to separate us from one another, neighbor from neighbor, and as importantly right here today, protect blocking the people from their elected leadership. When that happens, that's a problem. Because if we're hiding from each other, we're not communicating, we're not connecting. And that connection is fundamental to who we are as a city and as a people. So what do you say we break down some barriers tonight, yeah? What do you think? All right, so. And as I said, I've already fixed my pants, so no, focus here, we're here. Doesn't this feel a whole lot better? Maybe it doesn't, but we're gonna do it anyway. Because the truth is that if we're ever going to reach our full potential as a city, I can no more separate myself from you as I would neighbor from neighbor, my left hand from the rest of my body. The good book says that the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being a part of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being a part of the body. But God has put the body together, given greater honor to the parts it lacked, so that there should be no division in the body, but the parts would be equal for one another. If one part suffers, every part suffers. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Did I do okay, pastors? Did I do all right? Our city is a body. A body of different parts, of different industries, of different people. A body that has its weaknesses, but also has incredible strength. A body that, though more than 200 years, founded more than 200 years ago, has more vitality and resilience than ever. If one part's honored, then every part is honored. If one part suffers, we all suffer together. And just like our bodies, we must take care of our city. We have to eat right, exercise, maintain good spiritual, emotional, and mental health. We have to periodically go to the doctor for a checkup. We have to check our blood pressure, our cholesterol. We got to weigh in at the beginning of city council meetings so we never have to worry about what's sneaking up on the horizon. So here we are. We're going to check the numbers, check the pulse. And to do that, I want to introduce you to a new friend of ours. She's our virtual Inter-Columbia intelligence expert, but we'll call her Vicky. Say hello, Vicky.
Hello, Vicky.
Sorry, she can be a little bit buggy. We got her from the Department of Defense Surplus Program.
Would you like to play a game?
People who are old enough remember that. No, thank you, Vicky. Why don't you give us this year's highlights instead? Oh, wait, slow that down a little bit. Slow it down. This is a little overwhelming.
What would you like to know, Mayor Benjamin?
Tell me about our grant awards.
In 2016, the City of Columbia was awarded more than $13 million in federal, state, and private grants.
Which we owe to our incredible city staff across the city, and of course to Chris Seegers as well, our professional grants writer. Chris, you're here somewhere, I saw you. Chris, thank you, a round of applause. Thank you for our staff. Thank you. So Vicky, what do we have on the number of trees planted last year as part of our 10,000 Trees initiative?
Keep the Midlands beautiful. City of Columbia Parks and Recreation and Forestry and Beautification planted more than 626 trees in the city, which includes 30 different species.
Diversity is a strength. Please. Diversity is an incredible strength in this city. How diverse are we in Columbia?
The residents of the City of Columbia speak more than 90 languages and represent more than 200 nationalities.
Are we continuing to encourage diversity?
Yes. In fact, Columbia received the highest equality score in the state of South Carolina and one of the highest in the tri-state area from the Human Rights Campaign.
That's great news. Incredible. Is that the only recognition received this past year?
No, sir.
What else do you have?
Columbia was named in the top 50 best places to live in 2016 by U.S. News and World Report. Columbia ranked fourth lowest in startup costs in the nation at $232,000, lower than Charleston by 5.3%. Columbia was named the 2016 third best college town in America by Livability.com. Columbia established the first urban gigabit community in the state in Bull Street. Spear Communications Park was named the 2016 Ballpark of the Year by Ballpark Digest. The City of Columbia was named the 2016 Outstanding Government Program Award winner by the National Recycling Coalition for its Solid Waste Department. The Columbia Museum of Art was the only art museum in the country to win a National Medal for Museum and Library Service, the nation's highest honor for museums and service to their communities. The CMA was also named the 2016 winner of the Elizabeth O. Neal Verner Governor's Award for the Arts as the top arts organization in South Carolina, becoming the first and only museum to have twice received this extraordinary recognition.
It takes a while, guys, but we have all, the people in this room, we've been very busy. And it's important to sometimes take some time and smell the roses. We're very happy with our accomplishments over the past year. So what else you got going on, Vicki?
How are we looking for starters?
How are we looking with jobs, Vicki? How's the economy looking?
There's the economy.
Tell me about jobs.
Unemployment in Metro Columbia is currently at 3.8%. Mm-hmm. That's lower than both state and national unemployment. It represents a 58.2% drop in unemployment over the past 6 years, with more than 51,000 new jobs created in that time and nearly 10,000 new jobs created this past year alone.
So you're telling me that the people in this room helped create more than 51,000 new jobs and over the last several years have cut unemployment by 60%?
Isn't that what I just said?
It is. I just want to make sure you're right.
Let me check. Okay. It seems I made a mistake.
What kind of mistake did you make?
I forgot to add the 12,157 jobs that are available right now.
So it's actually about 63,000 new jobs, is that right?
That is correct.
So what would our unemployment rate be if we were able to fill those jobs?
Less than 1%.
Recognizing that, we must make competitiveness our top priority. Working. One person loves competitiveness. I thought they'd come from over here. Working with our friends in Richland County, in Lexington County, the Midlands Business Leadership Group, Ingenuity SC, the Central SC Alliance, our chamber, and all of our wonderful higher education institutions from USC and Allen and Benedict Midlands Technical College, the Fighting Koalas of Columbia College, CIU, and the Lutheran Theological Seminary, all of us, we must focus over the next several years on talent, developing a strong pipeline, including a focus on skilled workers and skilled trades, working to give people all across this great city, across this region, the opportunity to live a wonderful standard of life. We must focus on entrepreneurial and business development, constantly investing and rethinking how we do business in Columbia and the Midlands. We have to focus on innovation and, of course, on our industry clusters. The strength of our insurance technology cluster, health sciences, and the future fuels that this university has been focused on so well. And we've got to keep on doing well, actually kicking butt in livability. Extending the greenways throughout our city, railroad quiet zones, and creating vibrant public spaces, promoting the arts with the Central Carolina Community Foundation, with the support of the Knight Foundation. We're doing incredibly well in this space, and we must do even better. I do believe that working together, the sky is the limit. So I'm also proposing that we work together so much more closely, proposing that we host the longest table in Columbia, South Carolina. Our city is great because we are a collection of great neighborhoods. And I do want to thank all of our neighborhood leaders for being here. Would our neighborhood leaders stand for a moment? You know who you are. I'm looking right at some of you. Together, we must make our neighborhoods stronger and more vibrant. And that starts with better communication. To increase the level of communication, collaboration, and opportunity in our neighborhoods, we're going to host the longest table, an event that actually literally uses an incredibly long dinner table to connect people with their neighbors from Northwood Hills to Hollywood Rose Hill, from Edgewood to Wildwood. There won't be any excuses as to why we can't converse and break bread with our fellow men and women who live only a stone's throw away from each of us. Imagine 500 citizens sitting down in the middle of the street having dinner together, not doing it on Facebook or on Twitter, face-to-face, sharing a meal, sharing our hopes, our fears, our dreams for our city. I hope you'll join us for the longest table in Columbia, South Carolina. So, Vicki, if our city was a body, how would you describe it?
Healthy.
All right, healthy is a good word, but it's not what I was looking for.
Fit?
Closer, but not quite.
You want me to say strong, don't you, Mayor?
I really do, actually.
Fine. The state of our city is strong.
Thank you, Vicki. Which, you know, as impressive as our collective achievements have been, that's just the bones of our body, the foundation and frame that gives us structure and shape. It doesn't tell you about the father who can finally afford to give his children the Christmas that they deserve because he finally got a job that's paying him what he's worth instead of what he'll take. It doesn't tell you about the 20-something with a master's degree in psychology who's finally able to take off her waitress apron for good because she finally got a job using her degree. It doesn't tell you about the new businesses like Noma Revival, the Warmouth, or Studio 2LR opening up on North Main Street, the Cottontown Brew Lab, or Inda Coffee, what they mean to neighborhoods throughout North Columbia. It doesn't tell you about the homeless man who's moved into an apartment now because our workforce development program trained him for the first full-time job that he had in years, building Spirit Communications Park. And now he's got the skills and the experience. We taught him how to fish, along with 40 others trained just like him, to chart his own course into the future. That's the heart and story, the heart and what really matters. It's not about the big new projects. It's not about, though we certainly have had our share of them, I would say, and it's not just about new industries coming, but I will say this to our friends at Richland County Council. The accomplishment with China Jushi is significant, $300 million in investment, creating 400 jobs. I want to thank Richland County Council for your leadership. I want to thank you for your leadership and for your partnership. And this applause is for you, for the hard work. It's small businesses like Allie and Eloise opening up their second location on Main Street, Carolina Colonels on North Main. A new entrepreneur is taking advantage of our vacant and abandoned buildings incentive and local high-tech startups like T-Cube, investing $1.7 million and creating 100 new jobs on Bull Street. It's the deliberate step-by-step work we do every day, building a momentum that drives us into the future. That's how you take care of your body. You work to make it strong and resilient. You take 10 more steps a day than you took the day before, then 10 more, and then 10 more. Imagine what else we can accomplish with that kind of focused, relentless pursuit. Think about this for a second. As we build our brains, in your average middle-income neighborhood, the number of age-appropriate books to a child is 13 for every one child. In some of our lower income neighborhoods, that ratio is one book for every 300 children. Imagine growing up in a household without Dr. Seuss, without Huckleberry Finn, or A Wrinkle in Time, or The Hungry, Hungry Caterpillar. Imagine those things being completely absent from your life. And it's not like you grow up not knowing, a child grows up knowing that those books are there and absent from his life. Imagine what that does to her self-image. Never mind the barriers it creates in learning and learning how to read. Growing up in that environment, even if you can read, it teaches you not to read. It's not valued. That reading is not important, or certainly not for you. Maybe it's wrong for you. Somehow you're pretending that you're better than maybe your family or your friends or others around you. How do we change that? How do we fundamentally reshape the world of possibilities for so many of our children? How do we develop these incredibly powerful little brains to help them do what we know that they can do? Imagine giving that child a book, and then another, and then another, and watching them consume the written word like you've never seen before. That's what we did with the Books to Boys program. Thanks to Cigna Insurance, Richland County Public Library, and our wonderful staff at our Parks and Rec Department, we've given away more than 1,500 books to boys in our city, fundamentally changing the way they see themselves and the world around them. And yes, to all the fathers and mothers of daughters, like me, I've been reminded by my girls. On March the 8th, we will have our Books to Girls Fair and sharing books with girls all across our city as well. Let's take more steps. Let's take two. Let's take 10. I envision our city being a body of people who don't merely coexist, but those who support one another, lift each other up so we can reach each other. That's why a few weeks ago we issued a challenge to our residents to sign up to be mentors, mentor a child or a young adult in our city. Vicki, what do we know about the benefits of mentoring?
A child with a mentor is 55% more likely to enroll in college and 130% more likely to hold a leadership position.
And what's our goal?
Right now, we have a goal of attracting 100 adults to sign up to be mentors via the form on the Mayor's Mentoring Network page.
100. Look around this room. 100. Why do we need to do this, Vicki?
There's a lot to tell, Mayor.
We want each and every one of you to take this step with us, playing a role in changing the life of a young adult or a child in our city. Be that catalyst to help that child achieve greatness, help them live up to their God-given potential. We are only as good as we prepare the next generation to be. I'm proud of our investment in young leadership. Our Mayor's Fellows program has seen more than 200 students since it began in 2011. Each semester, we welcome a group of talented young men and women from all across the country. We've been as far north as Vermont, as far west as Iowa, with the preponderance of the students right here at our colleges in South Carolina. We want these young, bright minds to play an integral role in hopefully making Columbia their home and helping change this city from within. They learn how to operate in a fast-paced environment, and they provide incredible value. Would I ask our Mayor's Fellows to stand for a moment? We've invested. We've continued. This council has made the investment in our young people through a longstanding partnership with our Columbia Urban League. Last year, through our Summer Work Experience Leadership Program, we provided 600 young people with summer jobs all across the city. We're proud of this partnership. It teaches them not only how to earn a check, which they do, but also character learning. It's been an incredible opportunity that not only pays them, but gives them a chance to build a resume that can hopefully help them move forward in the future. We also have a new addition. We're excited to revitalize our youth commission this year. As we set policy for how we move this city forward, this great city forward, we find ourselves often talking about young people or talking at young people, but rarely speaking with them and listening to them as to how we can actually move this community forward. This year, we're giving a group of seven young people the opportunity to close the gap between our city government and our city's youth, a demographic that, though unable to vote just yet, will help us, I believe, immensely in helping the city reach its full potential. Will our Youth Commission members please stand up and wave? Investing in our children is always a sound investment. We want to give our children a leg up to education before they even get to the kindergarten classes. We thank our school board, our members, for being here with us today. That's why we partnered with a wonderful organization called Square Roots to become the first city in the nation to sign on as a Birth 40 Coalition city. In doing so, we're committing to improving maternal and infant health in our city with wonderful support from Palmetto Health that will help us streamline sharing and dissemination of best practices, innovative solutions, and current evidence-based research to ensuring that our children don't just survive, but live safe, full, healthy, and fruitful lives. But we want to do more than that, more than just mentoring boys and girls and giving them books. We want to improve literacy throughout our region. We want to improve school attendance. We want to increase access to quality early childhood opportunities by creating an early childhood advisory council. Some of the work we've been doing for years, a lot of it due to Ms. Devine's leadership, helping us identify existing opportunities and evaluate gaps for resources for our youth. We must continue to invest in our babies. We believe that a healthy child, a healthy person, and a healthy city must also have access to healthy food. I'd like the first five rows in this auditorium to stand up for a moment. First five rows. One, two, three, four, five. Stand up. You represent the number of people in our city who live below the poverty line, and as a result, suffer from issues related to hunger and healthy food access every single day in the city of Columbia. You can sit down now. In the land of milk and honey, the wealthiest and most prosperous democratic nation in the history of the world, we have dozens of grocery stores, hundreds of restaurants in our city, and people still go hungry. How is that even possible? We made some major steps last year. The city council voted in partnership with Senior Resources that we would feed thousands of seniors across this great city. We were able to partner with Walmart even to make sure that 1,700 seniors had food for the duration of the holidays, but we must do more. We were even just awarded because of the great work of our Parks and Rec staff. I see Ms. Williams and the entire team here awarded a $120,000 grant from the United States Conference of Mayors and the American Beverage Foundation to teach children how to grow healthy foods and learn how to eat well and work out. Some of you may have seen a video of me working out with the kids. It was a sight. We're going to establish a food policy council that conducts a food system analysis to help us understand what we're lacking and how we can connect slow foods, not fast foods, but slow foods, healthy foods, local agriculture, from the farmers' labor to dinner tables all across our city. We're going to fight food deserts together by supporting an urban farming infrastructure, establishing food hubs, and a community-owned food cooperative that allows community members to both own and run their own cooperative grocery store that has competitive prices and healthy foods in their neighborhoods, spurring the type of entrepreneurship and opportunity all across the Midlands region. If we think about food in terms of opportunity, there's so many other incredible, innovative solutions to solving issues related to hunger. And we're gonna work together to look into ways in which we can improve our zoning laws to rehabilitate abandoned lots and ensure the productive use of empty space. City Roots has done a fantastic job with their urban farm. There's no reason we can't work together to replicate that type of success all across the city. I will tell you this, a healthy body must also be housed. I know the importance of safe and secure shelter, what it meant to me growing up in Sam and Maggie Benjamin's household. How do we make the best efforts to connect people with housing that they can afford? Our development corporations, our housing authority, are doing a fantastic job all across the city, but the need remains great. Our next 10 steps will show ways that we can work together, both our school districts, our county, and our city, to create an environment that encourages private sector capital developers to put more money into that space, to build mixed use, mixed income, workforce housing all across our city. We know it can be done because we've already done it. This incredible growth of students living in downtown Columbia didn't happen by accident. It was intentional. It was deliberate, and it's led to unparalleled urban growth. We should be willing to apply those same principles, those same practices, to make sure that every person in this city who wants housing also has housing, to attract private sector development, to build millions of dollars of beautiful yet affordable housing for our citizens. They deserve it. I will be submitting a plan to our council focusing on these broad themes, and we'll work out a plan to do it together. One step, then two, then 10, and we're gonna start on it right now. Vicki, why don't you talk to me about sustainability?
There's a lot to tell, Mayor. You have to be a little more specific.
All right, well, tell me about our water sewer infrastructure that works to keep our clean water flowing, updating our old infrastructure. Tell me about how we keep our rivers and streams clean.
The city has invested $500 million in water and sewer improvements over the past 10 years. In addition, the city has inspected roughly 317 miles of sewer lines over the past 2 years thanks to the new sewer line rapid assessment tool. And this year, broke ground on new water distribution and wastewater management facilities. They're pursuing LEED Green Building Silver certification for the project.
And just so we're clear, how much of the much maligned water sewer fund transfer do we transfer to the general fund now?
$0.
You see, we know that our contribution to a better environment makes a huge difference. Sustainability matters, a true commitment to sustainability matters. Vicki, tell them about our rain barrel program.
In 2016, the City of Columbia launched a new program to teach citizens about the benefits of using rain barrels and how to use them effectively. To date, 394 citizens have signed up for the program, and the city plans to give away 1,000 rain barrels, which keeps approximately 50,000 gallons of rainwater from otherwise flooding into our streets, potentially damaging our infrastructure, homes, and businesses.
Through programs like Solarize SC, we've installed enough solar panels across the city on homes and businesses to generate over 8.2 million kilowatt hours of electricity over the guaranteed lifespan of 25 years. Vicki, give me a real-world perspective as to what that actually means.
It's like removing the greenhouse gases of 13 million car miles and the carbon dioxide equivalent of 6.1 million pounds of coal being burned or 13,000 barrels of oil consumed.
We were the first city in our state to power all of our council meetings on renewable power. We've converted 95% of our traffic lights to energy-efficient LED technology. And right now, we're well on our way to becoming the very first Star Community Certified city in South Carolina. And once we've achieved that status, we'll be provided the highest level of training and technical support to meet our sustainability needs. Sustainability is not just a buzzword in Columbia. It's become a way of life. And we're living proof that it actually works. I know that Vicki mentioned the new utility and engineering's headquarters on Beltline Boulevard now, but it's important. I want you guys to see what this means. It's an example of our commitment to true sustainability. We talk a lot about Spirit Communications Park. I think it may be to date the largest vertical project that we've done as a city. This is the second largest project. 15 million dollar project seeking silver LEED certification, a green roof, rain gardens, porous pavement, adaptive reuse of an existing structure, an old dilapidated car lot. We are a sustainable city and we are a resilient body. We don't even crack under the pressure when it's the weight of 11 trillion gallons of water bearing down on the Carolinas. When the sky opened up, we gathered ourselves, we stood together stronger and more tenacious than ever before, together, indivisible, all the inseparable parts of one body, creating one strong Columbia, united left hand and right, heart and head. As we begin 2017, we're making excellent progress, continuing our flood recovery efforts. Engineering design are underway for canal repairs. And we've recently seen definitive reports on the full extent of the damage from the flood to that incredible, important asset. In the coming weeks and months, in the city, in conjunction with FEMA and the state, we're going to develop repair solutions. That's not only to protect the city's critical source of drinking water for 400,000 people across the region, but it's also going to reflect the city's vision and resolve to emerge from the October 2015 flood stronger and more resilient than ever. Through your efforts, along with the help of FEMA, the city has accomplished much repair to our damaged infrastructure, but much work still has to be done. This year, we're going to begin implementation of a $20 million grant from HUD to assist property owners in the repairs of their homes and their businesses. We're going to continue to pursue additional resources as well through grants and other federal funds, and we'll keep all of our community apprised of our progress. Obviously, Mother Nature and climate change tested us greatly in 2015 and 2016, and I do want to give a collective round of applause to our incredible first responders for the work that they did. From our public works and solid waste staff to the United Columbia Richland Fire Department, which now enjoys the highest ISO rating available. We are so proud that we were tested and we showed up. This December marked 2 years since the Columbia Police Department launched its Justice for All initiative. It enjoys a strong and national rising reputation. Vicki, take us through the numbers of what's been happening at the CPD.
Gladly, sir. Following the principles outlined in Justice for All, the Columbia Police Department has increased the percentage of officer diversity hires from 39% in 2015 to 68% in 2016. Furthermore, the Columbia Police Department is leading the region in employee compensation for our officers, with career and leadership training for each member of CPD personnel.
I will say this because the chief will strangle me. We need to pay our officers more and our firefighters and everyone else. In addition, I will say the city is growing. We need more officers, and that will come up in future council conversation. But in this era of incredible distrust between law enforcement and the communities that they serve, tell me some of the things we're doing in transparency, Vicki.
CPD publishes annual and internal affairs reports each year that include the complaint and outcome of every internal affairs complaint filed that year. Though not required by law, all interview rooms are equipped to record all felony suspect interviews, and the new CPD website includes all calls for service and other information of interest to the public.
From Defending Childhood Initiative to Coffee with Cops to its great Citizens Advisory Council, the CPD has introduced a series of programs designed to foster proactive relationships and open a dialogue between the police department and the people of Columbia, all of our diverse communities. So we're re-engaging the public in a meaningful way, not just policing the community. Before we say goodbye to our friend Vicki, and by the way, Vicki's last name is Watson Harris. It's Watson. I've given her that last name because. Obviously, just one block south of where we stand, I think one of the biggest announcements from 2016 was had here in Columbia. I think it represents exactly where we're going as a community. The partnership between the University of South Carolina and IBM and the new Center for Applied Innovation is going to facilitate groundbreaking research here. I know for years we worked to land Big Blue in Columbia, South Carolina. We're going to focus on computing technologies and data analytics that's demanded by global businesses, people from all across the world. This partnership is going to focus also on the application of cognitive capabilities and the Internet of Things to develop new solutions to the world's problems. And I say this because I know we're always very careful about how we say it, but it's to say the city. I'm going to say it anyway, guys. We are the de facto headquarters of IBM's Internet of Things operation, Columbia, South Carolina. All of the things that Vicki did tonight during our demonstration is what IBM's Watson is actually able to do. We are on the brink of some incredible opportunities here in Columbia, South Carolina. Imagine what type of innovation can emerge from this opportunity, and we are excited about this town-gown relationship. We're excited, Harris, about the new medical school on Bull Street, working together to make that a reality. The innovation can be fantastic. So, I think I've kept you guys long enough, especially the fact that we know in this building, how many of you actually have cell service? Isn't it liberating not to have self-service in this building? I'm not sure, Dean Bruce, how you guys engineered that, but I felt my blood pressure go down, and it's pretty awesome. But we know that as one Columbia, as one great city, one body, it's not a matter of whether the hand or the foot wants to be a part of the body. It's a matter of how they collaborate to make that body whole, how we move that body forward. If one part suffers, every part suffers along with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. And perhaps the most instrumental part of the body is not just those things that move us forward, our legs or our feet, but indeed our eyes. Without a vision, the people perish. We dream, we aspire, we innovate, we challenge. Our vision leads us in tackling difficult issues. It leads us in rejecting the status quo and making meaningful, necessary changes to the arc of our trajectory. A vision that's going to lead us into becoming the city that we want to be, not in 2017, not just for today, but for the next 20 years. How do we want our neighborhoods to look? How do we want our vibrant entertainment districts to continue contributing to the city? What's the vista going to be like? Five Points, Main Street. How are these incredible arteries jetting through our neighborhoods continue to make sure we prosper? Vicky, as we say goodbye, can you play a vision preamble by City Manager Wilson?
By 2036, Columbia has captured the new American dream. While embracing our 250-year rich history, we enthusiastically welcome the future. We are proud of our soul, our unique character, our diversity, and our human potential. We stand as a city for all people. As a center of commerce, technology, and education, we have defined our city as one full of vitality and inclusion with a charming and cosmopolitan feel. We will create our desired future. We will continue our success.
So how will we get there? We'll focus. Our seven focus areas for City Council's new vision statement that we'll be rolling out tonight will be to attract and retain talent, to plan together, all of us together, to connect our community, to empower our residents, to enhance Columbia's neighborhoods, to seek economic prosperity for all of our citizens, and to lead the way with innovative and high quality municipal services. As we greet each other at the reception, I want you to take some time to look at all of our members of City Council, explaining as to what our role will be in making sure the seven pillars help us get to where we want to be in 20 years. We do miss Ms. Plow. Leona helped us craft this wonderful vision statement as well, and she is missed. Now as I close, we've been living through some pretty challenging times just these last several weeks. I want to acknowledge that. You know, I've heard that one of the most important steps in human evolution was when we began to stand upright, walking on two legs rather than on four. On the one hand, the natural tendency to look out across the grasses of the savanna rather than focusing on the few things that were immediately within our grasp not only gave us a tactical advantage, allowing us to see predators further away, but it also opened up our vision all the way to the horizon, which helped us nurture a sense of curiosity about the world, desire to investigate and explore and find our place in this world. So in a very real way, this sense of wonder, this ability to imagine and see the connections between things, this vision is the most fundamental part of our body. It's what separates us from other creatures. It's what led us to develop the first tools. It's how we came together as tribes and communities. It's indeed what led us to build cities in the first place. And it is our vision which allows us not only to see each other, but to connect on more than just a superficial level, but rather to identify with each other and recognize our shared hopes and our shared mortality. Yet as we stand here tonight, there are some who would use that vision to drive us apart, to separate us by race, by gender, by sexuality, nationality, religion, and all those other false barriers into bickering factions in the community rather than see us embrace our shared identity and our shared destiny. But we must refuse to fall into that trap. We must refuse to separate our left hand from our right, our head from our heart. I refuse to let this city be torn apart by any purveyors of bigotry or hate. We will continue to stand as a great beacon light of hope that continues to extol America's founding principles for all, each of us equal in the eyes of God.